This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Deep down, I feel like we all have this really profound desire to create something.
They're like PVC and zip ties. It's crazy.
To be diminutive deities.
I don't know. It's just bamboo things that were put together, and then it walks.
I'm not talking regular old organic procreation. I'm talking about creating something truly new.
And I think it's something about the connection of the legs.
Legs, like, they move in such a way that it looks like alive.
Something wild.
I think it would be fun if they had saddles and you could ride.
Something really weird.
And then, you know, you get to eight legs and it's kind of like insects.
Yeah, that is what it makes me think of.
It sort of does remind me of like a beast thing that's
just like, yeah, a creature.
The way that it moves with the wind, it's crazy.
So how would that feel to have conjured up such a life, to have made something so magical?
Well, I felt like God. I created something.
This is Dutch artist Theo Jansen, rather godlike in stature, with a gently crevassed face, aquiline nose, and shock of white hair, reminiscent of Michelangelo's God of the Sistine Chapel, stretching out his finger to extend the touch of life. But rather than the weighty frown of the Almighty, Theo Jansen wears a smile. And so does everyone else on this day at the Peabody Essex Museum, for we are standing next to Jansen's whimsical creation, the strand beasts.
This is the sound they make when they walk with the wind.
And what are strand beasts? The journalistic description is this: giant kinetic sculptures made with thousands of pieces of narrow yellow PVC tubing tied together with zip ties to form complex articulated legs. Some have fabric sails on their back that wave in the sea breeze and make the sculptures walk. That'll put some kind of picture in your head. But the soulful description?
I have to say, just even seeing you push one of the beasts and seeing it move, I mean, it's hard not to think that it's alive.
Alive, like a fantastical stegosaurus. Alive, like a massive magical millipede skittering across the sand.
The way that it moves, I mean, it looks like an actual living creature.
I don't understand how that worked, how I achieved that.
You don't?
No, I don't know how I did that. It's a computer program I wrote. I wrote a genetic algorithm a long time ago, already 25 years ago. And out of this algorithm came 13 numbers, which were the proportion of the lengths of the tubes I needed to make this the animals stay on the same level. So there's a special way of walking of the strand beasts. They don't toss up and down by walking, but they stay on the same level. And it turns out that the legs make the same kind of movement that real animals do.
Yeah.
But somehow you see just a bunch of tubes. And this gives a conflict in our brain, which somehow makes people smile or either cry or, well, it does something with our brain, which is, for me, is as magical as it is for you, but it happens.
The strand beast's charm is only further enhanced when you learn what inspired Jansen to create the first beast. Not what, really, but rather who. One of the most famous, decidedly non-mystical atheists living in the world today.
Well, it was by reading a book of Richard Dawkins, The Blind Watchmaker,
yeah,
and which really stirred my mind.
That would be Professor Richard Dawkins, noted evolutionary biologist, Oxford Don, and author of books such as The Selfish Gene, The Ancestor's Tale, and The God Delusion.
And he wrote computer programs to simulate evolution, and I started doing the same thing, but I thought it was in a better way than he did. A bit arrogant, maybe, but... And then in the beginning of the 90s, it came out of this computer. Then I had this idea, because this tube was already earlier in my life, and it all came together with the computer programs.
Yeah. Has Professor Dawkins seen the beasts?
I know that I know they have showed him the beast, and he liked them.
He did. Good.
When I look at that first animal of 1990, I wonder how I could be that optimistic and see the future of the beasts coming. But somehow I was optimistic without reason, because the beast didn't give me very much reason to be optimistic, because it looked so pathetic. But somehow there seems a sort of irrational optimism in me, which goes on without knowing where to go. But it came out.
And sure to please Professor Dawkins, Theo Janssen says through his own efforts and a form of digital DNA spreading across the internet, the strand beasts are evolving.
In the years, they became better surviving the storms and the sand and the water on the beach. And so I'm in the middle of that process. This summer I was on the beach doing all kind of experiments with a new animal. Then comes the fall, I declare him an animal extinct. And then it goes to the boneyard and it becomes a fossil. And since a few years, these extinct animals are adopted in exhibitions. So what you see here is, in fact, the beach animal history.
Yeah. You know, what it reminds me of is, as I watch the beast move, when I was young, maybe 10 years old, I remember seeing this video of a cheetah, right?
Yeah.
And it was a slow motion video of the cheetah both stalking and then sprinting after mm-hmm. prey. And the one thing that the narrator in the video pointed out is, if you look at the cheetah's head, mm-hmm. the head basically stays along the same line, no yeah. matter what speed the animal was running at.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I see that same sort of continuity of line here with the beast. It's absolutely fantastic.
It's happening here the same, indeed. And out of this algorithm came 13 numbers, which were the proportion of the lengths of the tubes I needed to make this the animals stay on the same level. So you could see this as the DNA code of the strand beasts. And since then, thousands of students in the whole world are using this code to make their strand beasts. So there you have aluminum and wooden strand beasts everywhere in Japan. And all these students have the idea that they are having a good time and that they have a nice hobby, but in fact they are used for the reproduction of the strand beasts. So they're infected with the DNA codes, and they get the same diseases I have, and they cannot do anything else but making strand beasts. In fact, after 4.5 billion years of evolution, we don't reproduce anymore in DNA and protein, but in zeros and ones and nylon powder, because this goes on the internet and there are mutants now, which must say they walk a bit more nicely than my animals. And that's what I call real life.
Yes, life finds a way, right?
Life finds a way. And I was thinking of letting these animals reproduce. I was having sleepless nights about how I could do that, but it was happening behind my back. They did it themselves.
Now, I mean, is this art? Is it engineering? Is it biology? What is it?
I don't know what it is. It is, well, of course, all these labels are given by institutes. But if it's in a museum, we call it art. And if it's in on a university, we call it science. But in fact, it doesn't say anything about the work itself. When I'm on the beach, under the clouds, in the rain, in the wind, I don't care what it is. I mean, I feel more like an Eskimo working out on this beast and looking at my own life. And I want to leave a new specimen for humanity when I leave this planet. And that's more the dream which keeps me busy.
So this is a goal for your life then?
Well, it became a goal. Well, you could also say it's a disease. I mean, it's something which infected me. And so it's an idea which landed in my head and gave me sleepless nights, and it seems to be infected all other people as well.
Thank you so much for bringing this art and science and magic to the Peabody Essex Museum, and it's just really, really great to speak with you and to see the beasts themselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Theo Jansen is a world-renowned Dutch artist. Strand Beasts, the dream machines of Theo Jansen, are on display at the Peabody Essex Museum now through January 3rd. Find more information and watch the beasts come alive at radioboston.org. Can you get it to move a little bit more?
Yeah. Okay.
It is impossible not to smile when you see it move, isn't it? It's absolutely impossible not to smile.
Wow, they sound wild on the radio. I can only imagine what they must be like to look at.
They're amazing.
Yeah, they sound great. Well, that's it for today and this week. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Have a delightful weekend. Join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.